through it all, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 33, from the King James Version. Paul is defending himself. The church at Corinth had had traveling preachers come by, and they had badmouthed Paul, and they'd said bad things about him. And after he had gone there and spent years in labor and built the church up, they came by and they put him down to be nothing, put themselves up to be everything. This was his answer to that. He said, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak to you as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, and thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these things are without, which comes to me also upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak that I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things that are which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of the Damascens with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. You know, sometimes when you get to the end of the way or nearly to the end of the way, you look back over the road that you've traveled and you wonder, how in the world did I get through all that? How in the world did I ever come out from all that's going on? Sometimes you wonder when you see people that are suffering. And did you ever notice that when one thing happens to a family, something else is going to follow it? Satan never plays fair. Life never plays fair. My friend, the truth is, we wind up with one thing piled on top of the other. We wind up with things in life that we have to say, and we've said this about other people, and we've said it about ourselves. I don't deserve this. We see other people, we say, they're going through that, but they don't deserve that. And yet, my friend, we get through it some way, somehow. I'll never forget one time they asked Sister Burton how she was stood it. She was going through an awful time. Her husband was an alcoholic. They wouldn't mind me telling you this. Her husband was an alcoholic and was mean to her as just ever a man could be. One time he hit her and broke her collarbone. Another time he brought her to church and held her captive in a car, made her sit out in the road and listen to us shouting inside, and just cause it would hurt her feelings so bad. She just went through horrible things. And somebody said, "Sister Burton, how in the world are you standing there?" She said, "What choice do I have?" And brothers and sisters, if we had a choice, there's a whole bunch of things that we go through we wouldn't go through. If we had our choice, there's a whole bunch of things we'd go the other way and dodge if we could at all. But the truth is that all people, every people, goes through these horrible times, times that we have to do without, times that we have to suffer ill repute, times, nothing makes me feel worse than to somebody to tell me that I'm a liar. I don't ever want to tell anything but the truth. And yet, I have had that said. You've had that said. You've had people say things to you. And you've gone through with things in life that just were not fair, that just were not right, but you went through them anyway. And as we go through these times, we ask ourselves, how do we make it through that? Did you look at that litany of things that the Apostle Paul went through there in his ministry? Now, you say, well, did he deserve that? Not hardly. He was out preaching the gospel. He dedicated his whole life to preaching the good news that Jesus Christ had come to save sinners. He traveled thousands of miles, hundreds of miles on the sea. He was beat, if you saw that there. He was beat, five times with a cat of nine tails? And the Jews had him beat 39 stripes each time. He was beat three times with rods. He was imprisoned innumerable times. He was chased from one city to another. He was, if you calculate it all up, he was shipwrecked at least five times in the ocean. He stayed in the ocean for days at one juncture. And of course that would have been in shark infested waters and in hypothermia and going all through all the things he went through. And you have to say, when you got to the end of the journey, how in the world did you make it, Paul? How did you get through all this? How did you stand it? And at the same time that he would be going through all of those things, those persecutions, those terrible things, at the same time he was going through that, he was also going through people in the church that were unfaithful to him, that were saying ugly things to him. Fact is, that's why he was writing to the Corinthians, because he had sacrificed so much for them. He had stayed with them and lived with them years and got the church established. And it was a spiritual church. It had a lot going on in it. But it also had problems. And one of the problems was, they'd say, I like this preacher better than Paul. I like this preacher better than Paul. Well, Paul teaches sort of a traveling evangelist. We like Apollos better than we like him. All of that hurt him. All the things, how many of you heard it? Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words may never find me. Don't believe a word of that. I've had words come at me that I'd a whole lot rather somebody took a stick and hit me. Would have been a whole lot less painful. Don't say sticks and stones hurt, but words will never find you. Because I can tell you, words can find you in places where sticks and stones can never find. So it's difficult to go through these things that we have to go through in life. But, like Sister Burton said, what choice do we have? We have to get through it. So we ask ourselves, how in the world am I going to get through this? Now, there's ways you can do it. You can get bitter. You can get mad. You can throw fits. You can do all kinds of shenanigans. But in the end, my friend, you won't be any better off than you were before. So the question comes up, how can I go through the ups and downs and all the things that life has to offer? Let's look at a couple of the times that the Apostle Paul went through. First time I want to talk to you about, he was in the middle of a riot, and the riot was all about him. He had preached and preached and done all that he could do, and he got down to Jerusalem, and he was trying his best to actually to please everybody. He was trying his best to placate the Jews, to take care of the people in Jerusalem, to take care of the church down there, and then he was thinking about all the people out here, the Greeks and the Romans and all the other people in the world. And the best he could do, he was trying for every one of them to be ministered to the very best he could. Well, you see what happened? Well, he got to the temple in Jerusalem, and I don't know really why he did it other than what I just said, because he had told us over and over again that there remains no more sacrifice. Yet he went in the temple, shaved his beard and his hair off of his head, stood in the dock for days with other people, and took a vow before God to stand there, and they leaped on him, jumped on him. In fact, the head of the Roman guard and the temple guard that was there saw the riot starting, and you know, you say, was it violent? Pretty violent, because the head of the Roman guard and the temple guard said they thought they were going to tear Paul to pieces. They were grabbing at him and doing all kinds of mischief to him, and he thought they're going to kill him. They're natural, and they probably would have, going to pull him apart. So he had to send the troops down to take care of him, and they came down and took him away from the crowd, took him out of the riot, and took him to a place of safety. Then they chose to move him to another place so that he wouldn't have such a crowd against him. And they tried their best, the Romans and Paul and all of them tried their best. Paul said, just let me speak to him. Let me talk to him. And he tried. He spoke to them in their native language, in Hebrew. And he talked to them about what was going on and what he believed. And he made it clear that he wasn't trying to destroy anything, but to build something. His intentions were wonderful. And as they looked at all that was going on, they were so opposed to each other that Paul was caught in the middle. And you say, how in the world did he make it? How is he going to make it through this? They want to kill him. They're trying to kill him. They throw rocks at him. At one occasion in one city, they actually threw Paul out of the city up at in Asia Minor. They threw him out of the city and left him for dead. They took him out and stoned him and beat him. When they stoned you, what they did, they found a small cliff and they threw you off the cliff. And when you hit the ground, they stood there and threw rocks at you till you died. Now, that's about as brutal as I can think of. And I can't imagine what kind of a person stands on that hill and throws rocks at a man laying down there till they kill him. But that's what was happening. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. And you say, how did he get through this? How did he stand it? Well, when the soldiers came and took him away, took him down to Caesarea and had him in the castle, and that's the word it uses, is castle, had him in the castle. What happened was, you say, they took a vow, yes. 40 men took a vow that they would not eat or drink until they had Paul dead. Now, that's pretty raw. All these people have taken a vow to not eat or drink till they kill him. You say, how does he get through this? How does he get through all of these things? Beatings and floggings and stripes and imprisonments and times that he didn't have enough to eat. All these things he went through, how did he get through it? You know what he said? He said it was in the nighttime when everything else had stopped and he was locked in the prison. What happened? He said, the Lord, hallelujah. He said, the Lord came and stood by me. You remember that old song we sang? Stand by me, O Lord, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When I'm nearing chilly Jordan, stand by me. Remember that? Stand by me, O Lord, stand by me. This is what the Apostle Paul, you see, how did he get through that? Because in the midnight hours, when no one else was awake and looking, the Lord came and stood in the room with Paul. And my friend, you can go through anything if Jesus is by your side. You can go through anything if the Lord comes and stands by you. And I want you to know one thing. He's promised. He's promised that he'll never, ever leave you or forsake you. He hadn't promised you a rose garden. He hadn't promised you riches. He hasn't promised you that it'll be easy. But he's promised you that he'll never leave you, that he will stand by you through the storms of life, that he will stand by you. And when there's a riot going on around you, and they're throwing rocks at you, and they're throwing you down off of a cliff, and they're grabbing at you till the soldiers think they're actually going to pull you apart, my friend, that's when he comes and stands by you. It wasn't so awful long after this. He was on his way to Rome, And he was on his way to Rome to be tried for a Christian. I wonder if we were taken up today, would we be found guilty? I sure hope we would. Paul's on his way to Rome to see Caesar. He's on his way up there because he cannot get justice. He cannot get a fair trial in Jerusalem or Caesarea or in Israel, in the Holy Land. There's no way he can be brought out and get a fair trial and a fair shake in life. So he's on his way to appeal to the highest physical authority on earth, which is the Roman emperor, the Caesar. Well, everything started out good. The scripture said that the sea was calm, that there was a soft southern wind blowing, just the easy soft southern wind blowing. And they start out with the ship, and everything is so good. Everything is so great. And then all at once, it's called a Euroclydon. You say, what's that? It ain't nothing but a hurricane. It's a terrible, terrible hurricane that blew up in the Mediterranean Sea. And their ship, and you have to understand, this ain't exactly the Queen Mary. Their ship is a little wooden ship. It's a good one, good size one for that day and age, because it's something that soldiers are traveling on and goods are being transported on, but no huge ships like you know about today. And that ship gets caught in this storm. You can figure almost always, and we can watch it on the weather maps, hurricanes coming up, it comes across, it's always in motion. It's moving ahead and going ahead. 2 or 3 days, all kinds of devastation may be left behind, but the storm is gone. The storm is over. 14 days there was a hurricane that ship was caught in. They threw out all of the weight that it had in it. They threw out all the cargo that they were carrying. They struck the sails and took down the mast. They did everything. They pulled up the anchors. They did everything they knew to do and put the ship at the mercy of the storm and let it go. 14 days they've been going. Seasoned sailors who have been used to doing that all their life. Seasoned sailors are hanging over the edge of the ship, throwing up their insides because they're sick. Seasoned sailors are praying to whatever God they can pray to, whatever God they know to pray to. They're praying for deliverance. Seasoned sailors who have been doing it for years, who know this ocean, who know this ship, who know their stuff, is going through this. And in the midst of all this is the Apostle Paul. And finally they decide, you know, if a Roman soldier is committed to bringing someone to trial and to prison, and he fails to bring that prisoner in, he will be killed instead of the prisoner. That's the way their law went. Anytime that you didn't bring your prisoner in and set him up for justice, you were taken away from life, and you had to pay for it with your own life. Well, the Apostle Paul is on a ship where everybody appears to be going to be lost. And so the soldiers decide, we're going to have to kill all the prisoners because we're going to lose them, and we're going to be killed if we lose them. It's a terrible thing that's going on. Everybody, they have quit eating, they've quit drinking, they're fasting and they're praying. They've done everything they know to do. Even ran bands down on the outside of the ship and around underneath it and pulled it up and tried to tie it off to hold the ship together. They've done everything they know to do. But through all of this, there's no hope. There's no one who has an answer. They have done everything the experts know to do. They've done everything that anyone knows to do. So the prisoner's going to be killed. The ship's going to be abandoned. And hope that there's land somewhere out there that they can see. But in the 9 hours, you say, how in the world did Paul get through that storm? Have you ever felt like there was a storm like that? Have you ever read the 46th Psalm? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And then he said, though the mountains be removed and cast into the to the sea, and though the winds thereof roar. And he goes on to describe an earthquake and a tsunami and a flood and a war and all the things that people go through with. And you think, how in the world are we going to get through this? And they have to think that. And in the midnight hours, suddenly one next morning, Paul begins to feed himself. And he says to the soldiers, eat here. Don't you need strength. Eat this food. And they begin to break open the food. And they say, but he said, listen, no one is going to be lost. You say, well, Paul, how do you know that? How can you be so sure that no one's going to be lost? I'll tell you how. In the night hours, an angel of the Lord came from heaven, and on that ship he stood. And Paul said, the angel came and stood by me. Listen, how did he make it through? God sent his angel down from heaven to stand by him. That's how he made it. When he was in the riot in Jerusalem, the Lord came and stood by him. I challenge you to go read the book of Acts. Go read how God delivered the Apostle Paul out of all these troubles. Through it all, my friend, God was there. When the riots came and they pulled him apart and they threw rocks at him and they pitched him off of a cliff, when they said ugly and mean things and told lies on him and all the things they did, the Lord came and stood by him and he made it through it. My brothers and sisters, when the storm came, 14 days of hurricane wind, blowing as hard as they could, ship breaking apart, people sure that they're going to die. Everybody, in fact, as it says, they lost hope. They lost hope. They had no hope of being saved. They just maybe could float to safety somewhere. Everybody figured they'd get a hold of a board or a timber or something they could float on, but they don't know that. But when that time came, my friends, the Lord came down from heaven as an angel and stood by the Apostle Paul. Had to get through it because the Lord stood by him. You say, well, how am I going to get through this? How many of you ever been in a situation in life and you wondered, how in the world am I going to get through this? Amen. Things you think your heart will break, and it does. How many of you ever suffered heartbreak? All kinds of things can break your heart, can't they? All kinds of things. Situations that you have no control of. You realize that there's whole bunches of things going on in the world right now, not in grandma's time, but right now, there are things going on in this world that are going to impact your life. And you don't have one defense for it in this world. You cannot change it. If the economy collapses tomorrow, and it could, if the economy of America collapses, my friend, you will need God to stand by you to keep from losing all that you have worked for and strived for. My friends, when the chilly hand of death invades your household, I have to tell you, it may break your heart, but there's not one family in this house today or one family anywhere that will hear this message, my friend, that hasn't had their hearts broke by the loss of a loved one. It's the way life is. You see, I don't like it. I don't like it either. I don't like it a little bit. I wish my business could go out of business simply because there was no need for it, that everybody lived forever and everybody felt good. But my friends, it's not that way, is it? It's not that way. And you wonder, how can I get through it? How can I get through this? Maybe you've got a child. I think one of the things that can break your heart quicker than anything is something to happen to one of your children. And I think one of the worst things that can happen to your children is you watch them make stupid mistakes. Watch them make stupid choices. Watch them go in the wrong direction. And then watch Satan grab at your child to pull him down. That'll break your heart quicker than anything in the world. And you say, how in the world am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? My friend, you'll get through it because the Lord will come and stand by your side. You've got to believe him. You've got to trust Him. You've got to hope in Him. My friend, when you leave these sanctuary hall doors this morning and go out into the world, you will go out into a world that has a cold shoulder. You go out into a world that's precarious. You cannot tell what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Did you ever believe this time last week that we would be shooting down an object put up by the Chinese government over our country? Of course not. You didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it happened. My brothers and sisters, did you ever think 2 years ago that we'd be investing billions of dollars in the Ukraine to fight a war against Russia? Brothers and sisters, as you look across history, you can't tell what's going to happen. But brothers and sisters, there's going to be things that happen on the other side of the world, literally. On the other side of the world, there's going to be things that'll happen that you don't have any control of, but they're going to change your life. They're going to change the way things happen. They're going to change the things that's done. And you're going to need somebody to lean on. Who will you lean on? The United Nations? The White House? I mean, where are you going to lean on? Where are you going to find somebody to lean on? My brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, lean on Jesus. He'll stand by your side. I've heard people say in time back past, thinking about my grandma Marshall, they'd say, oh, I'd like to be a prayer warrior and pray like her. Well, I'll tell you how that happened. Four boys in the thick of battle in World War II, night and day, she was so afraid that her boys would not come home. Three of them were in Europe, and one of them was in the South Pacific on the high seas. And my friend, they weren't on the backside. Uncle Marchie was in the Battle of the Bulge. Uncle Ted was there as they went into Germany. Uncle Sam was in the Red Ball Express with Colonel Patton. And Uncle Ansel had three ships shot out from under him and floated six hours in the South Pacific fighting sharks off with a knife. It was tough. Every day, three times a day, Grandma went up the hollow behind the house and got under an overhanging cliff and got down on her knees and prayed that God would set her boys free and bring them home safely from the service. And you say He did? He did, and we give God glory and praise for it. But I have to tell you something. There was many a mother, down on their knees praying in this country whose boys didn't come home, whose boys weren't there. So I tell you, as we rejoice in our victories, let us be careful that we don't rejoice in such a way that someone else feels hurt by it, that we rejoice in it in a way that will bring them comfort. My brothers and sisters, today, I want to tell you, sometimes we have storms like Paul had, and sometimes we have riots, and sometimes somebody gives us a smack and causes us to have a stripe across our back. But I can tell you that the Lord will stand by your side. Father God, I come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I come asking Your blessings and asking Your mercies upon Your people. I pray, Almighty God, that as we face the storms of life and we face the riots of life and we face the unfairness of life, I pray that You'll come and stand by us, that we can hear You and feel You and know You, that You're by our side and that You're with us. Heavenly Father, we ask You in the precious name of Jesus that Your Holy Spirit, God, will be with us and guide us in all things. And Lord, when the storms of life are raging, stand by us, Lord. Stand by us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.